So, I remember when I started with Drupal, and installing Drupal was fine. Creating views was amazing. But then, when you actually started converting or trying to create your own theme, that's another whole level. So, in this presentation, we are just going to convert a simple HTML theme into a simple Drupal theme. Now, 80% of the work is pretty easy, but it's the other 20% where you spend a lot of your time styling blocks, styling your views, styling your forms as well. But for this presentation, we're just going to go through setting up the one page and also talk about the dev module and also theme overriding. So
that's what I'm pretty much said.
Okay, so this is the theme. Not the most prettiest, but it does the job.
Are you doing 6 or 7?
6, sorry. Drupal 6. So you can see straight away, I've actually highlighted the main components of a standard site. You have the menus. There you go. You have the actual main menu items, the nodes, a block, multiple blocks, logo, and also site name. There are a couple of files which are required for a theme. The first one is the .info file. Now the .info file holds some interesting information. I'll just bring this one up. Can everyone see that? So here's a better one. Up the top you have the name. This is the actual name of the folder and the name of the file. The second one is core. Now, this was actually put into Drupal 6. What this allows you is that you can actually block certain themes or have certain themes run for, say, version 6.1, version 6.2, version 6.3. So, if I was to put in 6.1 in this, you could only run this theme on a Drupal 6.1, and you actually get a message in the theme page saying this theme can only be used for Drupal 6.1. In this example, we have it as 6.x, so it can be used for any Drupal 6 site. The engine that we're specifying is PHP template. Now, 80% of all themes out there are PHP template. It is a Drupal templating engine. There is Mardi, PHP Tau, but not a lot of people use it. And you would only use Mardi if you're in a big corporation where the designers only use that. The last bit, which are the regions, this is also new in Drupal 6. Here, you actually specify the main regions of your theme. In Drupal 5, this was all done in the template.php. But you can actually add in a lot more to this .info file, and you can also specify CSS and JavaScript. But to keep it simple, we're just going to leave it at that. And the top part, which is $ID$, is used for version control. So if you were to commit your theme, that would be replaced with user and also date. So here you can see the regions. We have the left, right, footer, and content. So you see here, regions, left, right, footer, and content.
You can create your own regions.
You can add in as many regions as you want and call them whatever you want. You can have a big list. Yeah. Call them whatever you want. And if you're actually developing a new style website, you would often have on your front page about 10 different regions, customized regions. Because I'll explain further, because you would actually assign blocks to those regions. Okay. So, the main template file, which is really the only required one, is the page, .tpl, .php. So, so with this example, this is the actual standard HTML. Everybody knows HTML. That's it. So often you will get a designer to actually design and slice the website for you, and then you'll get that sliced up site and actually convert it to a theme. So you would have this header part and simply replace it with these variables. Now, most important ones are head.title goes into the title tag. Then we have print head, print style, print scripts. This actually gives Drupal the power to dynamically change titles, add in CSS, add in scripts, and add in meta tags as well. Next one is actually, this is the primary menus. Okay, so if we just look, that's that area. Now, depending how complex your theme is, the main navigation can be way complex, but this is fairly simple. So here, you would actually replace it with first part is really the logo and the site name. As you can see, all of this is really the one div, so it's the one header. So I don't think I've placed these screens out properly. Yeah. Alright, so you can see this bit of code. It pretty much says if there's a logo or a site name, display the logo and display the site name. Below, you'll see, is our primary link set. This is where you actually put in the theme function to generate your primary menus. You can actually override this with the by simply overriding the links theme by using the standard PHP template overriding feature. And you can also pass in the class. So here you will see classes, links, primary keys. But if there aren't any menus, it's not going to display anything because the actual theme is wrapped by an if statement.
When did you do that, what you're showing us, usually do via the interface? And this is basically what's generated?
You would create the menus from the interface, but you have to actually put that bit of code to display those menus in the page.tpl.php. So when you're creating this theme, there are no interfaces for it. So you have to actually put that in the code. So
you can cleverly move the whatever you're calling that. So if you say you didn't
want primary
menus for whatever reason,
you can
tell in your menus for your own
blog,
you could actually get rid of that piece of code and
you've got more All right, let's enable the theme. Something's wrong. One second. So if I was to actually comment out this bit of code, it would simply just hide that. But once you have this bit of code, you can go into the menus and then create as many menus as you want, and it will just open up and just go along until you, like, if you were to have, say, 50 menus, it would break the site. And I know when I was working for a client site, we actually couldn't give the client access to adding in extra menus because it was so heavily themed that every new menu item would require extra themes. So sometimes you can't give users access to it because it can break your theme depending on your theme. Alright. So the next part. So we've done the header. And these are the other regions we have to set up. This is actual left sidebar. If you guys remember, we actually added a region called left. And you would simply just replace this static HTML with if left is available, print it out. Often you would have a right region, but you wouldn't have a block on every single page. So you can actually specify the system so that if no blocks are loaded for the left region or the right region, the actual regions are hidden. And this just cleans up the site. The actual right side is a bit different because we have the search box. Yep.
On the left, but already we specify the left region on the template part. Right?
Yep.
So in that case, the left template, left region is there.
Left
that region means it will print this menu. Isn't right? Or you have to put
actually placed a block in that region.
If you
haven't placed a block in there, it wouldn't show it at all. Now, I'm not sure if it loads it up if there's no block. I'm not 100% sure about that. Chances are Drupal would still load it, So if you do have a whole bunch of regions and you're not using them, it would be best to remove it.
So it means...
It depends how you set your... how you build your theme as well, whether your theme can handle being multi-columned or not multi-columned.
Yeah, that's it.
So if you've... it won't print it. Like, if you set it so it's got that column there all the time, if you're showing nothing, there's nothing there to show on that page, it won't print it. But it would still be there. You know what I mean? Like, it won't print in the box in it.
It's not a massive overhead though. It's more overhead on your browser, just dealing with having multiple divs that are empty than
That's what I'm actually after. That's why.
A good thing to think, like when I started looking at regions, for me it was what I kind of really did was look at regions as my main kind of div, and really break the site down into regions as how I would break down kind of my main user cases where. As you were saying, top left, right, and then, as you were saying, the front page. So that's kind of, I think, something that helped me a bit get around that div concept. And I was saying, okay, here's my div. Like, that region is my bigger div, and then within that region, I can then break that down into further views and further things like that.
The question, the reason I asked you, because when you do a Selenium or any testing, you go with the div tag, you look for the object is there or not, right? So if region is specified already on your template file, does it print? Because we check for the if left available, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means region is available, but there is no content is there. So there will be another test. Specifying
I don't think so. If there's no block defined there, that's what defines whether or not there's a left.
So it's still div tag will be there?
Yeah. You still get a div tag.
Alright, so with the right sidebar, we have the actual search form. And here you can see that it only displays the search box if the search module is enabled. If it's not if it's not enabled, it hides it. And then below it, we have pretty much exactly the same as the left side, but this time it's if there's any content destined for the right region, display it. And the footer is fairly straightforward. You just go print footer and print closure. Now this print closure, even though it doesn't really do anything for the user, it's still required for modules and also to give developers a place to probably exit all JavaScript at the end of the pages, so it's still required.
Yeah, heaps of modules don't work unless you have that at the bottom of
it. That's it, I know. That's it. So you can create your awesome theme and then switch it on, and then half the functionality of the site just goes. And it's like, why is that? And that's because Garland has everything in it. Garland supports everything. Or a lot of the developers actually develop their modules to work with Garland. So, yeah, if you don't have closure, your site may not work. So the most important part is really the content. So we'll just look at the content. So Drupal actually creates variables for you, specific variables. So if you were to go print breadcrumb, it would actually display the breadcrumb. So if I can see that. Now, I've actually selected the Garland thing because everyone knows that. If you were to print out the messages, it will actually print out that message. The tabs, it will print out the tabs. And the title, it will print out, of course, the title. The help is the help. Then you have the most important one, which is content. So any themes always, so any module themes get pushed to the content variable, which then gets displayed. And lastly, we have the feed icons. So if you have RSS and you're not echoing or printing the feed icons, you're not going to get the RSS icon. So that's pretty much it. What I'll try and do, for some reason this is broken.
And how do you know what all those variable names are? Like, do you have to look in?
It's also, if you guys have the Pro Drupal Development Book, the second edition, it's got a full list of them.
And I can show you that book. I've got it if you want.
Okay.
I can go and grab that now.
I've got a copy here. And there's also, I don't know, if this is a really good one. It's like learning Drupal 6 model development. It's not as intense as the Pro Drupal one. So if you're just wanting to like get a real basic module to knock a form up and stuff, I found that one was all right. And then this one I've got for like the content manager at our workplace. And that's kind of just more building a powerful and robust website with Drupal 6. Goes really briefly into doing some stuff with themes and that, uses Baron and stuff to kind of do it. And then just talks really briefly about, yeah, I mean, each section, you know, using CCK and views and stuff. But I found it's really good for not going to...
This is the second version of this book as well.
Yeah, that's the first version, yeah.
And I actually did bring with me today... I've got digital copies of almost all of the Drupal books, if you guys want to look at them. I've got them on a USB stick, so you guys can look at them on a PDF.
Yeah, good luck. There you go.
Often you find it.
Oh, often could you just put the microphone? Yes, sorry.
Often you find when you develop a theme that you get a blank page sometimes.
Yes.
That's just an error with your coding in your theme. And to fix that, you've basically just got to say, you know, I don't want to use this theme anymore. I want to use the default. You've got to change your theme. So, in the theme that's mocked up,
yeah, that's how I was kind of going. Like, yeah. There is a
procedural art. Do you
want
to go? Okay. This is a bit complicated because he's on a multi-site server. But basically, whatever you do, you go into your themes folder, and in this case, we just have to copy Gartland. You're getting a theme. Sorry about this. Okay. So the problem is, this is your theme that's not working. So you basically just paste in the default theme if it's not there. And basically, what Drupal's doing, Drupal is it's looking for RD design. But basically, if we rename this theme. If we rename anything else, Drupal won't be able to find it, and we'll revert to Garland, and so you'll be able to use your old theme again and access the site.
But sometimes it actually gives error because of the PHP memory size sometimes.
The what?
The PHP memory limit. Suppose you have multiple...
Yeah.
That's less of
an issue when you're actually dealing with theme development. When you're doing module development, that's an important one to keep in mind, but not when you're doing theme development.
Alright, so there you go. We pretty much screwed up the Drupal site. Actually, I've never disabled a theme from the database. I've disabled modules before, but never disabled a theme. Alright.
Oh, okay.
You'll actually, part of the problem is you need to actually delete that one that you've renamed. The other one. No.
That one.
Yeah. Delete that one. Because it's got its .info file as Garland and it's reading it as.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, that's fine. No, leave it like that. No. Now just go back and reload your website. Now it should default back to Garland.
So this is a good example as to why you'd never really modify Garland.
This was actually just getting a static and then just adding in the themes. So I'm not sure exactly why it wasn't working,
did you use Garland as your...
What I normally do is I get the static HTML, chuck it in the page.tpl, then I get a cut-down theme, say the Zen theme, and then I grab bits and pieces of the code, so I've got two pages up, and then I just grab the header, copy it over. I don't use Garland because there's a lot of code. What I can do is I can show you the difference between it.
Well, the other thing, too, is when you are doing it, because when you're still running your updates and things like that, if you copy it, uses Garland. So, if you're going to modify to do anything with that, you've really got to start, having quite a deep detailed understanding of how that theme's going together and stuff, because you really break it.
So, you can see, it's not too bad. This is Garland. Here, it's got a fair bit of logic in there. Then, this one's mine, which is pretty, fairly simple. But, with theming...
Sorry, could you just click the microphone? Sorry.
But, with theming, the best thing to do is just grab other people's themes, check out the code, play around, and then just comment out bits and pieces of print this, print that, and you will be able to pretty much figure it all out. So there you go, that's it. Thank you.
Baron's a really good one I found too, when I first started playing with it, because Baron's the table that's on CSS one, and it's got CSS in the three areas of doing its layout and styles and typography and that. And it's really kind of like good I've done to get in and start playing things. Fixed width, and it's just got your normal nav bar and menu kind of thing and stuff. So I found that was good to start getting in.
Or how do you spell that one?
Baron, B-A-R-R-O-N.
Right.
Either one. They should be both empty, so just copy over
whatever you got. But it is a really compact, small theme that kind of is
There's also a couple of other really good themes that are good base themes. One is called Basic. There's another one called Sky, which isn't...
Yes, I use Sky.
Sky isn't actually that basic initially, but it has an option that converts it to a wireframe that allows you to really make it easy to kind of develop your own theme.
There's also Zen Garden, which is CSS based, so if you know CSS, and you really don't touch PHP, you can see.
There's a couple others as well. I have a list somewhere if you guys want to bug me about it later. But there's about 8 or 9 different base themes that you can look at. If you're looking for more theming information, Justin's going to be doing another presentation in the next room, pretty much now, about using basically using a CSS framework to build a theme. So it's going to be very much about how to just do CSS stuff. It'll probably be a little more advanced than this, but if you guys are interested in the theme, that's okay. Huh? Oh, is it? Okay.
What's the
I'll go check. I'm not sure we've got anything else specifically scheduled next. Oh, this was actually going to be about panels, I think, was the next one.
No, it's Jeff is doing the panels as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to have difficulty being in 2 rooms at once. I might see if I can get the panel discussion with Jeff then and have Jeff do the
Yeah,
because they're going to
be
panels. I'll do panels and then we'll do the theme. Unless we have another presentation you guys want to do, I'll look into it.
Yeah,
I'll do
Save one of your media links to take you to another page.